Are you looking to expand your brand this year? Want to make your business stand out above the rest? Well, there's no better way to grow than with your own podcast. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, a small business, or a massive company, you need a podcast in 2024. Podcast Plus is an easy and efficient way for you and your brand to join the podcast revolution. There's no better way to position your company as the go-to authority than with a podcast that showcases your industry knowledge, insights, and expertise. The studios at Podcast Plus are state-of-the-art with top-of-the-line production quality. And if you're just starting out, Podcast Plus offers professional script writing, editing magic, and can conceptualize your show, create your cover art, and get you ready to stream on all major platforms. We'll market your podcast as well, showcasing it on radio stations and digital streams across the country. Expand, enhance, and extend your company and brand and reach potential clients and customers 24/7. Find out more at Podcast with a K, PLUS.com. That's Podcast with a K, PLUS.com.
It's time again for the Jason Lee and Clark Show. It's time again for the Jason Lee and Clark Show. It's time again for the Jason Lee and Clark Show.
And action, off we go. Welcome to Here's Your Freaking Podcast with Jason Lee and Clark Show. Thanks for being a part of the podcast. You can stay up to date all things JLNK by heading over to jlnkshow.com. What are we going to learn on the podcast today? You know that awkward moment where you have to stop all the action and put the condom on? Sometimes it's, well, it's less than ideal. A brand new company has found out a way to make that never happen again.
Spoiler alert, it's just by skipping it altogether.
So we're going to look at a new medical condition, but this poor young lady, it sounds great, where you're permanently aroused all the time. You're always turned on. And then we'll find out what a nightmare it is. What happens when you have a foot-long penis? What happens when you have a foot-long penis in yoga class? And this will be the most confusing end to a podcast we've ever had, because we will take a look at the 10 different kinds of polyamory, and we'll lay out the scenario for each and every one, and it sounds as fucking confusing as anything I've ever heard of.
I thought it was just the one where everybody gets to have others.
No. It's a lot more than that. But let's begin right here with sexsomnia. Much like other medical conditions, which include walking in your sleep, talking in your sleep, sleep eating, sleep terrors.
Sleep eating sounds magnificent until you realize that you don't always eat food.
Yeah, like my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, he would get up in the middle of the night and eat his wife's makeup.
Can you imagine what your mouth tastes like in the morning? Just,
Well, they're called parasomnias, and included in parasomnia is sexsomnia, or sleep sex, like sleepwalking or sleep talking or sleep eating. It's a rare sleep disorder that causes people to engage in
intercourse.
That's what I thought too, but no, it's more than that.
I thought you were saying it's sleep beating.
You may find yourself having sex, intercourse. You may find yourself having dirty talk.
No. I would rather be caught almost doing anything than dirty talking in my sleep.
Or masturbating.
And there's the thing I'd rather be caught last.
Sex omnia also includes masturbating while you're asleep. They say these are disorders of arousal. They most often occur during the slowest, deepest part of sleep called delta sleep.
And usually, like sleepwalking and insomnia, like stuff like that, you don't recall the events. So
you only know because someone found you.
Yeah, you've been treating your body like a fucking Ferris wheel, and you have no recollection of it at all.
They say it's like an alarm or trigger that goes off in the central nervous system, and, well, you can go from your basement to your roof in no time flat. 7% of people experience sexsomnia at least once in their life. 3% are currently living with the condition.
That's why I don't spend the night at any of my friends' house.
It makes it difficult to study because people who have it have no recollection of their actions. They only become aware of the issue if they injure themselves or if they are made aware of it by a partner or family member.
Just kill me now.
You're deeply sleeping, and you're not with the program, and your body is activated to go ahead and go.
If your wife catches you doing that in the middle of the night, even if you're unconscious, you're never going to be able to convince her you were. You're like, no, that's not what I was doing.
You were just being weird.
Quietly beating myself to sleep.
What is really concerning to these patients is that they have total amnesia. If it's the bed partner or family member having to tell them, you did this, why did you do this?
Just boot me from the family. I'll leave quietly.
And the patient says, I don't remember anything. They're really embarrassed, full of shame, very apologetic, and totally miserable. While some couples do engage in consenting sex, it says sex started during an episode of Sexomnia. Some couples are actually into it. There can be some legal consequences, though, obviously, from sexual behaviors. As with any sexual behaviors, you could get in a lot of fucking trouble for this.
Yeah.
Sexomnia experts don't understand, but they believe it is genetic.
I got it from watching you.
We don't know the ultimate cause, but there is a genetic component to it. If you have at least one first-degree family relative with parasomnia, that could be sexsomnia or sleepwalking or sleep talking or whatever, you're more likely to develop one. Then there are first and second-degree relatives that have parasomnia that are more likely the condition will persist into childhood or reoccur.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That awkward moment when you have to stop the action and put on a condom. Just thinking about that makes everybody freak out. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's you just lay here for a second.
There was a whole episode of Seinfeld about it.
Yeah, I'm going to put this condom on while you just, hey, just chill for a second. Just chill. What if I told you you never have to behave like that again?
What do I have to do?
If you're tired of slowing things down so that you can put the rubber on, there's a Colombia-based condom maker who wants to help you do it the right way. Pre-erection condoms.
Oh.
Condoms that can be rolled up 2 hours before sex. They say this makes lovemaking so much easier and more fun because you don't have to interrupt your intimacy with the mundane task of putting on the condom because...
Are you telling me that I have to squeeze a flaccid penis into a tight elastic bag?
You're already wearing it. They call them smart condoms, and they're made out of a synthetic resin called AT10. The C2 smart condom stretches over a flaccid penis, covering it like a sock, while the ring at the base helps the prophylactic adhere to a soft member.
This is not a good look.
When the penis becomes erect, the condom expands to a size up to 7 inches. Basically, it's like the Jiffy Pop stovetop popcorn thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
There you go.
Wasn't that scene in Porky's when she's like, oh, Pee-wee's already wearing the condom. He put it on already.
There are two different companies that are competing right now that have similar prophylactic products for you. One is called Unique Smart, and the other is the C2.
I'm feeling very silly stuffing myself into a bag.
Yeah, the Unique Smart, which boasts that users can slip their product on before the erection and forget about it. I don't know. Mm-mm. I don't think you're going to forget about it. But they do say that these new condoms are a lot skinnier than the typical latex commonly used in rubber manufacturing. They say it fits more like a second skin than a contraceptive. So the companies claim that their products can overcome condom-related erectile dysfunction because a lot of times when you have to stop,
Oh, yeah. You
know, there's the awkwardness and the embarrassment of the situation that may happen.
Well, that's when you just, you know, treat it like a bike pump really quick. Get it back up to speed.
One online Unique reviewer claimed that sex with this condom was better than without it.
Whoa. I don't know if I believe that.
Now, here's what I want to be a part of. To test whether the condom was... To test whether the condom was guilty of erection interference, a Colombian-based university reportedly tracked the arousal levels of 82 dudes between 18 and 30. Half of them wore the special condoms, and the rest went condom-free. The different groups were tasked with watching erotic content and then rating their arousal levels on a scale from 1 to 25, in line with the International Index of Erectile Function.
I was unaware there was such a thing.
Hey, that's in all caps. Researchers found that there's no significant difference in arousal between the groups, suggesting that pre-erection condoms do not have an effect on the erectile response.
Huh. The erectile council. Members?
They say so far the only downside is the sample size was lacking somewhat because they only did 82 dudes.
No.
There are some people who got some fucked up things going on. This woman, this sounds great. She's 21 years old. She has persistent genital arousal disorder, a condition which causes uncontrollable arousal.
Now, at first, you think this is great, but what are those all those ED medications think if it lasts more than 3 hours and it's painful? So eventually, it's going to start to hurt, right? And I imagine it's the same for women.
This woman is unable to work or go to school full time. Treatments and surgeries are being developed all the time, so she's hoping that maybe at some point, at some day, somehow, some way, she will live a life without, you know, persistent genital arousal disorder. She's even had some of her genital nerves removed in a bid to numb the pain because it hurts so bad. She says, my vulva is constantly burning. It was like I was naturally aroused, but I didn't want to be. It's nerve pain. It's not wanted. There's no pleasure. She describes the pain as burning bugs under her skin and like her genitals are on fire. Now
that sucks.
This will give you an idea of how terrible it is. What is she willing to go through to get away from the pain of this? To distract her from the pain, she will deliberately rub Vicks Vapor Rub on her genitals.
Oh, the flame.
They say chemicals in the Vicks Vapor Rub would give her severe thrush, and she found the rawness and the burning more tolerable than the pain for the persistent genital arousal disorder. She also does it. She tags it also by saying she struggled to make friends due to her anxiety.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And she can't stay around people for long periods of time in case she gets a persistent genital arousal flare up.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Dude, if you would take the Vicks VapoRub burn over that.
Yep.
Yeesh.
So what if you got a foot long dong? That's probably pretty sweet, right, bro? The UK's most endowed man, his name is Matt Barr. He has a huge tallywhacker and it's causing him problems, including he is having some dating difficulties. He's figuring out that he's been sexually exploited before. And he got kicked out of yoga class.
Well, I imagine with the form-fitting yoga apparel. Dude probably says, pretty apparent what he's been working with.
Guy's 40 years old. He said, I'm trying to dispel some stigmas. He says,
oh, boohoo, cry for me, Argentina, Mr. Big Dong.
You got a foot-long dong, man. He says, women typically love the idea more than the practicality. He's known as having Britain's biggest penis. It measures 12 inches long when erect. By the way, that's more than twice the global average, which is 5.1 inches.
I mean, sure, you think about it, it's hilarious, but when you think about an entire length of a Subway sub in penis,
you gotta lug that around all day.
Nobody wants to deal with that. You might accidentally flush it if you hit the flusher while you're on the toilet.
He says people have learned a lot of myths from pornography. They don't realize the implications that it would have if you were actually living the situation on a day-to-day basis. He's got an upcoming autobiography that'll be out. It's called The Long Story.
Okay.
Life with One of the World's Largest Penises. I'd make sure that my name was in equally sized font right underneath yep. There where it says, Life with One of the World's Biggest Penises.
And I'd read my own book on an airplane just so somebody looks at me and sees the picture on the jacket and is like, oh, that's him.
This is funny because he says it's difficult because it's not something you can spring on people as a surprise. It does scare people away generally, he says. He says also you don't want to bring it up too early because you come off as being a what? A fucking creep. That's right.
Yeah, you can't bring that up first or second date like, so I've got a foot-long package. I'm sitting on it right now.
He says, in porn, there's a lot of filters being used. There's very small bodies, lots of camera angles and stuff. So when they face someone who's actually that size, they don't want it, he says. There are people who like it for bragging, he says. He claims some opportunists have even tried to cash in on his, you know, foot-long dong. He says he was catfished by a woman who tried to get him to appear on her OnlyFans page under the guise that it was a normal date. And then, of course, we have the yoga class. He said, I was wearing very baggy shirt and shorts because of the yoga positions. People got the wrong idea. And he was Long story short, he was kicked out of class. He said they thought that I was aroused the entire time, so they kicked him out of class.
I assure you, I'm fine. You're coming to yoga class to get turned down by the women, you pervert. That's a pretty tough argument to make.
Even scarier than a foot-long schlong, penis reduction surgery. What do you think that costs?
I couldn't even begin. Is it 40 grand?
What does he got to get? A couple inches hacked out of that? What, 10 inch, 8 inch? I don't know. 4 inch? Get 4 inches taken off? Just take a little off the top, Doc. Nice 8 incher right there.
I think 4 inches off of a foot long dick is still a pretty mighty penis.
$19,000.
All right.
It's only done normally in cases of tumors and things like that. He says this is just not a common thing. He's not the only guy with a huge penis. We knew this guy from Rolling Stone magazine, Jonah Falcon.
Yeah. Hey, that was the first article I'd ever read with somebody who has this thing. And yeah. The things he talks about, how people on the street would offer money to touch it and hold it.
Yeah. It's a 13.5-inch beast, this man's penis. He does say, I'm sick and tired of having people wanting me to measure it in front of them. I've done it 10,000 times enough already, he says.
One of the things I remember about that article, because we all read it and thought, holy shit, he said is that it would take him like 25 minutes to get fully hard because there was so much blood that needed to travel there.
Oh, yeah.
And that you could feel the heat from his penis like 6 inches away.
Hot to the touch.
All I could think was, man. But he's like, yeah, it's a lot of weird women and weird guys that find their way to you.
All right, this is about to get confusing. Polyamory, that's when you have multiple people in your life, right?
I always thought that meant that if you are with a wife, that you two can have whoever you want else flowing in and out.
All right, so when it comes to alternative lifestyles, the concept of polyamory has gained a lot of traction in recent years because those people have determined that traditional monogamy just isn't for them. Statistically, 4-5% of Americans currently confirm that they are polyamorous and they're in a polyamorous relationship. But where it gets real sticky is trying to figure out what sort of polyamorous am I? And then it gets fucking complicated. All right. So here's the different kinds of polyamorous relationships. And then we'll play out a scenario. And it gets more confusing the farther you go. Hierarchical.
Hierarchical?
Right. Polygamy. Paul lives with his wife. They prioritize each other.
Yep.
But they each have a different lover they see once a week.
Okay. That seems to me like the most normal type.
Right. Non-hierarchical polygamy. Paul has had a consistent two partners for a while, but he just hit it off with a new partner, and he has to shift his schedule to make more time for them. Every partner is considered when making big decisions.
Okay.
So that goes from 2 to 3,
okay,
right?
Okay. All right.
Like a Russian nesting doll. They just keep popping out.
But does his wife also have the same situation, or
maybe
is it just him?
I don't know. Kitchen table polygamy. Paul, his wife, and their two lovers get together for dinner on occasion. They want to be friends, and they may even have independent relationships with them. Parallel polyamory. Paul has a wife and a girlfriend.
All right.
But the wife and the girlfriend have never met.
Oh.
Although they are aware of each other, like a parallel universe, polyamory.
I don't think I need them to be friends, so I think so far parallel.
It would be best if they wouldn't.
Yes.
Garden party polyamory. Paul has a birthday party coming up.
Oh, Paul's going to invite everybody, huh?
Both the wife and the girlfriend are in attendance. They can be social, but they don't feel the need to make it anything more than that. Also, they don't have to be friends. They can hang out together, but they don't necessarily feel the need to be friends.
I don't even know if I want that.
They say kind of like when you see your cousins at a funeral or family reunion. You're like, hey, someone I once knew. Now, we know throuple, right? Paul has a wife, and then there's another love interest that shares the living space with both of them. All three are dating each other, sharing expenses, etc.
All right.
Polyfidelity. Paul's wife and their lover are exclusive to each other in their own private triangle.
Okay, so they don't pick up any randos.
I guess. I don't know how that differs from that throuple.
That sounds a lot like what that is.
Unless it's this, the polyfidelity is just a sexual thing where a throuple is you're sharing everything.
Oh. Dude, I had no idea.
V polyamory. Paul is at the bottom of the point of the V, with his wife and his lover on the separate upper points. Those two aren't together, but they very well might be friends. Whew. Solo polyamory.
That's just you with both hands.
It doesn't sound like it. Paul has multiple partners and loves and values each of them, but also lives alone because he's focused on his career primarily. I'm going to circle that one. That sounds like
Paul's got it. Solo polyamory. So you're just
right. That sounds like the good one.
Yeah, you got a few girlfriends, and that's as far as anything has to go.
I'm going
to
go home and sleep in my own bed quietly by myself. Single polyamory. Paul is single at the moment, but is aware that his preferred relationship dynamics are polyamorous in nature. Okay, so Paul's got jack shit going on, but he would like to have lots of shit going on.
He's got a big fantasy sex life.
Right.
Well, I'm here by myself, but I'd like to be with multiple partners.
Right. That for us is probably more likely than any of the other ones. And then finally, and this sounds awful, relationship anarchy. Essentially, this is a hearty fuck you to about any form of relationship structure. Paul has multiple partners, friends, and lovers. He loves and values each of them, but he doesn't treat one relationship more seriously just because they're romantically or sexually involved.
Weird.
Good luck sorting all that out.
All those birthdays, anniversaries, gifts. Fuck, you're gonna go broke, man.
When you add it all up, it becomes what? One big pain in the ass.
I like the idea of Paul sitting at home with nothing, fantasizing about having two women. Yeah. Like, you know, I have nothing in this hand or in this hand, but I would like them both to be full.
What do you say? He was single polyamory, which means you're a loser.
We've all been there.
You're a loser dreamer. That's all you got.
I was there for quite a while.
So there you go. There's the podcast for this week. If you can make heads or tails out of that, knock it out. Like, seriously, good luck. Thanks for being a part of this. Don't forget, again, you can stay up to date all things JLNK by heading over to jlnkshow.com, and we will see you next Tuesday.